We have an election coming up in New Jersey this November. Some joke that New Jersey has the election on the odd number of years because of the odd state of New Jersey politics, but that's another debate for another time. But we do have a first for a governor's race. This is the first time a lieutenant governor is running for governor. That would be Kim Guadagno on the Republican side, obviously. What's not a first is a really rich person running for the Democratic nomination for governor, which is Phil Murphy. On a national level, when a vice president runs for president, they quickly become the front runner. That's not happening in this race for New Jersey governor. My first guest today is here to talk about why this is turning out that way. He is a State House reporter for the Star-Ledger and NJ.com, Brent Johnson. How are you today, Brent?
Good. Thank you for having me.
NJ.com/Star-Ledger. You can check out Brent's work and the other journalists with Star-Ledger and NJ.com. And, you know, when you think back at the primary, I mean, that might have been the first foretelling of a tough road for Kim Guadagno, because she only won with 47% of the vote against, at best, maybe B-level state house names.
Yeah, I mean, her biggest problem is that she is tied for the last 8 years to the Christie administration, and Christie is at, you know, incredibly unpopular. He has the lowest approval ratings of any governor in New Jersey history. She's tried to distance herself from that. She's also tried to make the race about tax reform, as she's going to lower your property taxes. But a recent Quinnipiac poll showed that her ties to the Christie administration are hurting her.
Yeah, more so than Murphy's ties to Goldman Sachs are.
Yeah, it seems to be that the Goldman Sachs connection isn't picking up as much with Murphy as some might expect. Yeah, Christie is proving to be a bigger albatross than Goldman Sachs.
And that's even after she, I guess not directly, but gave a backhand to Christie about the house on the beach situation when the shutdown was going on. But given the state of affairs and the poll numbers, plus or minus a couple of points, but still she's got a double-digit deficit to overcome, which maybe overcoming deficits might make you more qualified to be a governor in New Jersey, too. But it seems like if you want to cure what ails you, you try to take a remedy. And in this case, it would be to get out as much as you can, get in front of as many people as possible. But she seems to want to skip things, as I referred to at the NJ.com town hall meeting that was scheduled. And she had, at least her handlers had said she was going to be a part of this coming week. And they pulled out because of a supposed scheduling conflict.
That's what her campaign said, that she has, you know, scheduling problems. They didn't tell us where she'd be. I mean, her goal right now, she has to raise money, too, because she has a 3-to-1 fundraising disadvantage to Murphy. She's down in the polls by double digits. I mean, one thing that she's trying to do is to, as I said earlier, make this race about tax reform. She's saying she's going to lower middle-class property taxes by about $800 a year. And that's what most polls show, that's what New Jerseyans care about. New Jersey has the highest property taxes in the nation, and she's trying to say, hey, Murphy's going to raise your taxes, and I am going to lower them. So that's what she's trying to recast it. But, yeah, I mean, she didn't fully explain, or her campaign didn't fully explain why she pulled out. They said it was scheduling, but we don't know where she'll be that night instead. But, you know, who knows?
Well, there had been the belief that she's always been on a real short leash as lieutenant governor, and if she would go out, it would be reading off prepared statements. Q&A would be a rarity at best. Did you ever have a chance to do any long-form interview with her?
I only after the campaign started. I had not spoken to her before she declared that she was running for governor. Then we spoke on the phone and at events, and she's been very open to talk since then. But yeah, before that she was at a lot of ribbon cuttings. So what her reputation was, she was known as being the top liaison to the business community in New Jersey. She dealt with a lot of businesses in the wake of Sandy and to get people, help with building things and tax code and all that. So, I mean, she did have a reputation among the business community, but I'm sure a lot of residents didn't have a clue about not only who the lieutenant governor was, but that New Jersey had a lieutenant governor.
This is true. It's our Brent Johnson, State House reporter for the Star-Ledger and NJ.com, NJ.com/Star-Ledger. You check out Brent's work and others, and you'll listen to Issues and Ideas. Did notice, too, I mean, as you said, it's pretty obvious, and Murphy even said it himself, that there's not going to be a tax he will not consider, will not like, and will not raise on people. Redondo has said that if she can't cut property taxes, she wouldn't run for a second term. And you have her opponent, who's flat out said he's going to raise taxes, yet she's still behind with all that being on the table. Again, that's a big negative. That's got to be a real big negative tale about how she is seen.
And no one can really figure out why there's voter antipathy towards this race. You know, you'd think Christie is going out after 8 years. It's one of only two governor's races in the country. You'd think more people would say, you know, I should pay attention to this. But polls show that a lot of people are still undecided. And that even though, you know, taxes are the top issue, that Murphy is still leading. Now, that's not to say Murphy's going to raise everyone's taxes. Murphy's tax plan would mostly raise taxes on the wealthy, and he would tax legalized marijuana. But, you know, this race is odd. You'd think more people would pay attention, but maybe it's after 8 years of Christie, who is deeply unpopular, people are just kind of fatigued by the governor's office.
Yeah, they might be focusing more on who gets the state house and those races, whatever comes up. And I mean, another negative, too, with Guardano, if you look at one of the polls I came up with, our Quinnipiac University poll, Murphy gets 64% of the women's vote versus 28% for Guardano. Again, that's not a happy place to be.
A lot of people wonder if it's just that people already have assumed that Phil Murphy is going to win. If there's already this tide, well, you know, he's going to win. But, you know, there's still a lot of time, actually. You know, a month and a half in a campaign is a lifetime. So we'll see.
Plus two televised debates in October, which if you were on that debate panel, what would be the one question, if you were given one question, that you would want to ask Kim Guardano?
I want to know, how does she truly believe she can afford her tax plan? Because, you know, her tax plan will cost $1.5 billion. She says she will do it through an audit of state government. Even Governor Christie has told Politico that he doesn't see that happening, so I'd want a detailed idea of how she thinks she can afford that. Because people do want to see their taxes lowered, and that is a plan that gives them hope.
There was I think she was called out on that, too. I think it's Assemblyman Michael Carroll, who is from Morris County, has come out pretty much against it, and Guardano was asked that. So Mike Carroll recently said your plan would not give property tax relief to Republicans. Can you think of anyone in your town who would get property tax relief under your plan? And Guardano said, not in my town. That's a bit of a misstep, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the big question about her tax plan, that it sounds good on paper, but it won't actually work. But, you know, the other thing is that she is really trying to juxtapose that she will cut your taxes and Murphy will raise them, and that's the calling card. And again, it seems like on paper it would work because voters seem to really want tax reform. But again, this race is a little odd and that few people are paying attention.
Again, I referred to the October debates coming up. There'll be two of them. That's as far as getting a message out, even at that point, you might question how large a viewership might be, but the Guardano campaign has to be all in with those two televised debates. Given her lack of experience in front of crowds, is she more likely to fail in those two debates, or is Murphy going to have to run the risk of getting pinned down about his image of being the taxer that wants to invade New Jersey?
She is definitely going to go after him for that. You know, obviously, when you're the front runner, your idea is to stay in the corner and you know, not get hit too much. But, you know, that's definitely going to be what she goes after, so he's going to have to be on the defensive about that. I'm sure he's going to hit her repeatedly about being tied to Chris Christie, how 8 years of the Christie-Guardano administration, you'll hear that a lot. So, you know, that'll be the gist of the debates, I'm sure.
And maybe to her benefit, I haven't seen Christie come out and do any appearances or supportive action for her campaign, which, again, that's probably a positive on the campaign's outlook.
You could say that helps her. Because of his numbers. But she did appear at a private fundraiser with Scott Walker that she was at.
That's true. And like it or not, and believe it or not, Christie can still bring in some money, too. Again, off the radar screen would be the better for the Guardano campaign. It's going to be interesting to see because miracles can happen in the world of politics, and anything can happen in New Jersey politics. So to follow it, nj.com/StarLedger. You can Read Brent's work along with the other journalists at the Star Ledger and NJ.com. Brent Johnson, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.